على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ما بعد. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, my young friends, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Indeed, it is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are able to gather here every Friday for Salatul Jumu'ah in peace, alhamdulillah. And that we are able to gather here for the five daily prayers, the daily salawat, with peace and security, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Overall, my brothers and sisters, this land in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us in, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us, is blessed in many ways. It is blessed in many ways. And one of the greatest blessings is that we have general peace and security, alhamdulillah. And for this great blessing, which many of our brothers and sisters around the world are not able to enjoy, we must be always grateful. Thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great ni'mah, and also trying to do our part to keep it that way, but rather also to make it better as well. Yet at the same time, we know that nothing is in this dunya is perfect. No situation, no place is perfect. And we know that there are challenges. And one of those challenges, as we have discussed previously as well, is regarding the growing hate and incidents of hatred and attacks against people, including our community, including members of our community, including our masajid. As we know, 5 years ago, on January 29th, the Quebec City masjid attack occurred. And six of our brothers became from the shuhada. After offering Salatul Isha on that cold Sunday night, and many children were left orphaned, and many of our sisters became widows. At that time, we thought that it was an isolated incident, an isolated act. One crazy person, one madman who went ahead and committed this terrible act. But sadly, such incidents of hate and violence have continued. And we have lost five of our brothers and sisters, in addition to the six in Quebec City. And there have been numerous other acts of physical aggression, violence, and intimidation. And they are not, sadly, just limited to the streets or the public, but that intimidation is also happening in the halls of power as well, from some politicians, particularly the Quebec government, in the form of Bill 21 that restricts sisters who observe hijab from professions such as teaching in public schools. Now, my brothers and sisters, we know from the history of Islam that there will always be people who feel threatened, even by the peaceful message and the peaceful practice of Islam, because of their own ignorance and their own insecurities. Right? This is one of the effects of the truth, that there are people who will, in one form or the other, who will continue to feel threatened, right? Because of their own ignorance, because of their own insecurities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Furqan, in ayah number 31 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا من المجرمين وكفى بربك هاديا ونصيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that similarly we made enemies for every prophet from amongst the criminals, from amongst the wicked. But sufficient is your Rabb, sufficient is your Lord as a guide and as a helper. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelation in the cave of Hira, and he went to Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha for reassurance after that first revelation, that first incident, she took him to her cousin, the elder Waraqa bin Nawfal, the scholar, the scribe. And when he heard about what had happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was able to identify, first of all, what happened, and he also made a prophecy. And as part of that prophecy, he said, لَمْ يَأْتِ رَجُلٌ قَطُّ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا عُودِيَ, that none came with what you came with, but that he became the subject of enmity. So this message, this revelation that has come to you, it is going to turn people into enemies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us in Surah Al-An'am in ayah number 34, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا, that indeed many messengers have been rejected before you. Once again reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed many messengers have been rejected before you, but they stood patient against their rejection and they were persecuted until our help came to them. So this enmity, my brothers and sisters, is, to be honest, to be expected to some degree. Yet we are people who have been taught to be positive, to remain positive, even in the midst of dire hardship. When there is enmity that is driven by insecurity, it should have an effect on us. But that effect of that enmity should not be negative. Rather, it should be positive, because the effect should be that it should strengthen our resolve and our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about events surrounding the Battle of Uhud. And at that time, some of the hypocrites, the munafiqun, had come and tried to scare the believers. They tried to scare the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks highly of the companions who struggled in the midst of fear, in the face of fear and aggression and threats. So Allah tells us about them. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسِ, those who were warned, إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ, that your enemies have mobilized their forces against you. فَخْشَوْهُمْ, so fear them. They're trying to use psychological warfare, psychologically trying to make them feel afraid, try to make them scared, bring their morale down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what effect that had. The munafiqun were trying to put them down, make them afraid, but the effect was the opposite. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, but the warning only made them grow stronger in their faith. What was the effect? They became stronger. It strengthened their resolve. Because when people are trying to make you afraid, and they are trying to diminish your existence because of what you believe in, then that means that there is something very powerful in what you believe in, that it is making them do that to you. So فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا, their iman instead grew, became more strengthened, and they responded, وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ, and they responded that Allah alone is sufficient for us, meaning as an aid, and He is the best protector. So we should try also, my brothers and sisters, that when people try to put fear into us, try to put us down by threatening us, that our iman also gets strengthened instead of becoming afraid. It's to some extent, it's natural when we start thinking of things and possibilities. It's natural that we might feel a bit anxious, you might feel a little bit afraid. But we gain strength from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the way that the companions radiallahu anhum responded to the much severe threats that they faced, the much greater fear that was attempted to be put into them. They responded with resilience, they responded with strength and with faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now those who are sworn enemies, perhaps in the past, meaning recent past, they were not too worried because they thought that the government was representing them, that the government was keeping the Muslims in check. So they were relaxed. So we don't need to worry too much because everything is happening the way we want it to happen. The Muslims are being, you know, marginalized, are being discriminated against, are being oppressed, are being targeted by government agencies. So we have nothing to worry about. But now perhaps they sense that that isn't happening in the way that they want it to happen. So they have taken matters into their own hands. This perhaps explains, it's my theory, Allah knows best, but perhaps explains as to why we have seen such a great rise in acts of hatred against Muslims in this country. Now, as we approach the fifth anniversary of the Quebec City Masjid attack, we know that in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the ways of our pious predecessors, there is no teaching or tradition of celebrating or marking death anniversaries. This is not something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did for any of his close companions or for any of the prophets of the past, for people of the past. And our pious predecessors didn't do that either. Those who are killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know, they are not dead. They are alive in a much better place, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah in ayah number 153, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَن يُقْتَلُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Never say that those martyred in the cause of Allah are dead. Don't call them that they are from the, that they are amwat, that they are dead. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, bal ahya, they are alive. But you do not perceive it. But you're not able to sense that, you're not able to see that. Yet at the same time, it is indeed perhaps wise to mark the date, to remember the event. So not to mark the deaths or the passing or the passing of the brothers, but rather to remember the event and to raise awareness about the issues and the realities that we are facing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sent messengers in the language of their people. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always sent messengers in the language of their people. And the cultural practices and norms, the ways of doing things, communicating things that are not rooted in religious practice and that do not conflict with Islamic teachings, they can be seen as a type of language, a type of language that people understand. The National Council of Canadian Muslims and other groups have been doing great work, mashallah, in advocating to all levels of government on these issues. And last year, the federal government declared January 29 as the National Day of Remembrance of the Quebec City Mosque Attack and Action Against Islamophobia. NCCM has also been encouraging cities, well, actually, they've been doing a number of things, encouraging people to do them as well. So, for example, they've been encouraging cities to light up landmarks and monuments in the green color to mark the day. And, for example, the CN Tower will also be lit up green. You also have the Green Square campaign. It's an easy way for the public to show support for the Muslim community and to stand against Islamophobia. You know, it can be virtual, your social media, you know, avatars, images, profile pictures, you can put a frame on it. Or they're also, you know, telling people they can cut a green piece of felt and wear it on their shirt. You know, these are the types of things which are recognized and understood in today's society, in today's culture. They've been doing great work in working with school boards, preparing material for educators. Because you see, my brothers and sisters, the reality is that many people are truly ignorant. And some of them, their ignorance has turned into fear, which has turned into hate. So we must continue to educate and reach out in the best of ways, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Right? Respond with that which is better. Don't bring yourselves down to the same level of those who are ignorant, of those who are hateful. Don't become like them. Because if you become like them, if you start behaving like them, then what is the difference between you and them? So always remember, a reminder for myself and for all of us, because sometimes when we get emotional, you know, we respond in ways that perhaps we haven't thought about and that we shouldn't respond in. So the believer's response is always better and is always wise and measured. And this is where our actions come in, my brothers and sisters. As individuals, with our neighbors, with our colleagues, with our fellow citizens, and also as communities as well, that we continue to represent our community, our deen, in the best way, with the best character, because remember, we are all ambassadors of our community and our deen. Every single one of us is an ambassador. You don't have to be appointed by someone. Every single one of us is an ambassador because of our affiliation with this deen and with this community, because of our names, because of the way that we look like. Many, many factors that make us ambassadors of our community and of our deen. Whether we want to be ambassadors or not, we are. That is just the reality. And indeed, the Prophet ﷺ was sent to perfect our character. The Prophet ﷺ was sent to perfect character with everyone, starting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the way to animals, and even our enemies. The Prophet ﷺ taught us how to have good character, appropriate character, with everyone. Right? Because sometimes you wonder, the hadith says, the Prophet ﷺ said that I have only been sent to perfect character. So we say, well, okay, we just become good with others, and this is the message of Islam. Right? Yes, that's one part of the message. But the character, how to have good dealings, appropriate response, appropriate relationship, starts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the ultimate message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How to recognize our Rabb, our Lord, and what sort of relationship to have with Him. How to maintain a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then with Himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And with our parents, and with our spouse, and our children, and all of our relatives, our neighbors, all of society, animals, and our enemies. All of that is covered through the teachings of character by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers and sisters, our response to what we are seeing and what we have been experiencing should have five parts. And every single one of us has a role to play. So number one is to reach out and continue to educate. Don't prejudge people's intentions or be unnecessarily be on the defensive all the time, always questioning and always, you know, assuming the worst in people or of people. But rather be open to reaching out, take the first step, reach out, try to educate. Don't just think, oh, because this person, my neighbor, colleague, supports this party, therefore they're always going to be Islamophobes. Or such and such person says this or posted this, so therefore we write them off. We are not a religion, a people of cancel culture, where we cancel people because of something they have said or done. We give people a chance. So continue to reach out and educate, number one. Number two, strengthen our communities with every relevant and permissible skill that is needed to deal with the situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةِ. He tells us to build strength in the ways that are relevant. So whether it is self-defense, whether it is security, whether it is getting educated in various fields, in law, in politics, in communications, whatever the need may be, we have a role to play in strengthening our communities. Number three, building alliances and advocating for government action to tackle the problem in meaningful ways. In meaningful ways. Right? Building connections, building alliances, putting pressure, building connections with politicians, with leaders, and getting results that are meaningful. Number four, improving our own conduct. Many times, we ourselves give ammunition to others who are looking for excuses to put us down. So we improve our own conduct so we don't give others the excuse or an excuse to put us down and to spread their message of hatred and animosity. This is also from the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was very careful about his conduct so that the enemies don't say, oh, look at how he treats his people or what kind of conduct he has. And number five, my brothers and sisters, most importantly, strengthen our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because in the end, Allah azza wa jal is the master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord. Nothing happens without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ultimately all help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So this is for every one of us, and if we all act upon this, my brothers and sisters, to the best of our ability, we will inshallah have collective strength. And finally, let us always remain hopeful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةٌ وَاللَّهُ قَدِيرٌ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. In time, Allah may bring about goodwill between you and those of them you now hold as enemies, for Allah is most capable. And Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. So always have hope. Keep trying with positivity, with goodness. Don't give up. And have good hopes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in the face of adversity and hardship. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide the misguided. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the illness of hatred from the diseased hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant safety and security to all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.